but you know what's best, my Lord. Oh, I want what you want for me. Oh, I want what you want for me. Once more, is that your desire? Service. Let's stand. This is number 8 in your hymn book. If you don't know it, you looking forward to seeing the Lord? Amen. I am. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to that crimson flow, and many arrows pierce my soul from without within. Oh, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him and look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, oh, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever betide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, Lord, let me lift my voice. All past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there leading in the fight, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low. He's guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him and look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. Streets of glory, Lord, let me lift my voice. Our cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there leading in the fight, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low. Guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him and look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, Lord, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. Yes, he's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him and look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, Lord, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty
sheep. Then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep, and he leads me gently on through this world below. Oh, he's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so, and oh, I want to see him and look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, Lord, let me lift my voice. Home at last, ever to rejoice.
Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen. Amen. He's a good, good Father. It's good to be out in church. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen. As we have the holiday coming, I was speaking to a brother the other day from another assembly, and he was talking about the country where he came from. They just met in houses. They didn't have... He was just pointing out how thankful we should be to have a church that's cool in the summer, warm in the winter, happy deacons to greet you when you come in, freedom of worship. It really means a lot to have a place where we can come and we don't ever have to worry if the lights aren't on here. That, you know, maybe one day enough persecution comes, they'll chain the doors. But until then, we're going to go on worshiping the Lord. It's just good to be in his presence this evening. Amen. That's what I'm thankful for tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Although I can't repay from my heart, I would like to say, Lord, another. Why don't you turn and greet one another this evening?
done, and I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Amen. We have so much to be thankful for this evening. Amen. God bless you. As we go to prayer, we have several families traveling. Brother Jimmy and Sister Patty are traveling. I want to remember them in prayer. And the services in Austria went well, and Brother Jalou is interpreting for services in Poland for the next few days. Brother Trevor and Brother Stephen arrived safely in Beckway and will be ministering there the next few days. Please continue to remember all of these brothers in prayer for traveling mercies and for the services. Brother Luke Nicholson and his family will be traveling as well. Please remember Sister Tina Bryant's stepmother, Sister Denise Hamilton, that her incision from her hip surgery will heal up properly and quickly. Also, please remember Brother Jackson Bryant in prayer. He has a fever and a cough. And Sister Sabra Swank is driving home from Indianapolis tonight from taking her family to the airport. Please remember her in prayer. There's a prayer request for Brother Joshua Toth. He has extremely high blood pressure. And Sister... please continue to pray for Sister Colleen Dabney. I believe she fell and hurt her hip. She is doing better and still wants prayer. Thank you. That's from Sister Anna Pierce. You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring to the Lord by an uplifted hand? Amen. Brother Terry Sargent, would you come and take us to the Lord in prayer this evening? Amen. It's an honor and privilege to be out in the house of the Lord. If there's any visitors here, we welcome you in the name of the Lord and pray that God blesses you. And looking forward to what the Lord has for us this evening.
Draw closer to you. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time we have a special from Brother Isaac Weber.
Gave me your love, Lord.
Well, I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. Oh, I've got a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. Gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. Well, you see, he has been so good to me. Oh, now I think of what he's done and where he has brought me from. I've got so Jesus done for me. Oh, I know I'm not worthy of them all. Oh, but his blessing he freely gives. Lord, I owe my whole life to him. I've got so much favor. To praise him for, well, you see, he has been so good to you. Has it been good to you? But think of what he's done that way. My Jesus brought me from. I've got so much to thank. While on this way, I just kneel and I stop and say, Lord, thank you for all you've done for me. And one day I'll reach heaven sure. Oh, please, just let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank him for. Let's all sing. And I've got so much to thank him for, so much just to praise him for. Well, you see, he has been so good to me. Hallelujah. And I think of what Jesus brought me from. I've got so much to thank him for. Let's say that chorus one more time. And I've got so much to thank him for, so much just to praise him for. Well, you see, he has been so good to me. Hallelujah. Thank you.
definitely have so much to be thankful for. Amen. People ask you, how are you doing? We should be able to say better than we deserve, I believe. Amen. I don't always answer that way, but that is my testimony. Amen. God bless you. If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 665 in your hymn book if you don't know it.
Once I was clothed in the wraps of my sin, I was wretched and poor, so lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion the King of all kings, in pity and great love, he took me under his wings. Oh yes, oh yes, oh I'm a child of the King, and his royal blood, it now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched, stand. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King, now his royal blood, it now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and vile, sing it again together. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King, oh his royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched, child of the King.
Amen. You thankful for that tonight? Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together this evening. Lord Jesus, we just welcome your presence into our midst, Lord, and we just ask that you take complete control of this service. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us tonight, Lord, and all that is said and done. Take complete control of the service, Lord, we pray. And Lord, as we're getting ready to celebrate a Thanksgiving time, Lord, as the brothers sang a moment ago, we've got so much to thank you for, Lord. And we recognize it shouldn't just be one time a year, Lord, but we should be thankful every day, Lord, for all that you do for us, Lord, our many blessings. Lord, if we were just to start to name those, Lord, we would go on longer than most would be willing to stay for this service, Lord, just to try and count our blessings, Lord. We're so blessed, Lord. Where would we stop? But, Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for your presence amongst us, Lord. And thank you for believers that are still standing for the word. Lord, we thank you for the truth that you sent in this age. Thank you for sending us a prophet, Lord, that was, Lord, not just a prophet, but a vindicated prophet, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for restoring our hearts back to the truth. And Lord, we thank you for the foundation that we have of the scriptures, Lord, that we aren't tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and by everyone's opinions, Lord, but we know where we stand in the word, and we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for eyes to see and ears to hear. I ask that you would be with us tonight here, Lord, this group that's gathered here, Lord, and Lord, many traveling. Lord, I pray that you'd protect those and keep them safe. Lord, may you just be with me. Lord, guide me, guide my words, Lord, and help me to stop where you would have me to stop and speak where you'd have me to speak, Father. We commit this service into you, Lord, and just may you receive glory from it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2 tonight. 1 John chapter 2. I just want to read three verses there to begin with tonight. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. I recognize that after the service tonight, there will be those, hopefully not anybody here, but there may be some that go back and listen that they may not like me very much, but at least they'll have heard the truth. So I ask that you pray for me tonight. And Brother Attila had made a statement Sunday evening referring to the scripture that we read tonight, that about not loving the world or the things of the world. He said it didn't just say don't do the things of the world, but to not love the things of the world. We recognize that you could try by legalism or self-righteousness or your own works to try not to do the things of the world, but if you still love those things in your heart, it's still a problem. And there had been a conversation that Brother Trevor and I had had, and kind of along those two things that had happened, I had this thought of will it make it to heaven? And so we want to look at some things tonight that I don't believe will make it there. Don't get scared. I didn't say who's not going to make it there. I said things that aren't going to make it there. And some of them are good things. Some of them we're glad that aren't going to be there. And some of them might get right down where we're living and might make you upset and nervous. But I believe it'll be for the glory of God tonight. So Brother Bram says in Future Home in 1964, he said, death doesn't change you. Death only changes your dwelling place. So whatever we are here, that's what we're going to be over there. So if you have some of these things that we'll look at tonight, some of them are terrible things. Some of them aren't really that terrible, but they just won't be there. So if your emphasis and your focus and you major on some of these things that aren't even going to be over there, then we recognize sometimes our priorities are wrong and we need to readjust our priorities a little bit on things that are of the eternal. Now we look at something Brother Branham talks about here in That Day on Calvary, and I'll just warn you, I have no idea how I'm going to get through the material that I have tonight, but it's a holiday tomorrow, so I know most of you don't have to work or go to school. So, you know, people take that quote where Brother Branham said, you know, in church order, a brother should keep it about 30 to 45 minutes, but they don't take the quotes where he said, we need to have those all-night services like St. Paul had, where the preacher would preach all night. He said, oh, the deacon board might run him out if he tried it, but I don't think our deacon board would care if I did that, but there might be some people that at least Brother Joel wouldn't be against me. Amen. So I don't plan on wearing you out too bad tonight. If we get too far in, we'll just try to have to split it up. But I'd really like to try to get as much of this across as I can tonight. So you pray for me tonight. I'll preach fast and you listen fast, okay? That day on Calvary, 1960, he said, Brother Charlie, some time ago I was down in Kentucky with him, and he said, Brother Branham, do you think in the millennium you and I will squirrel hunt? I said, I don't think so, Charlie. He said, well, we liked it so well. Said, do you think we will when we get in the millennium? I said, no, won't be nothing killed in the millennium. And he said, well, we just like it. I said, Charlie, what if I could convince you that one time you were a hog and you'd raised to a higher being, to being a human being? Would you ever go, want to go back and enjoy the pleasures of a hog? Said, no. I said, see, you'd be so much higher than the hog now. You're human. You'd never want to be a hog anymore. I said, now multiply that by 10,000. Let's read that again. Now multiply that by 10,000, and that's what you'll be when you're changed from here to what you will be. You'll never want to be human again. That's right. It'll be something different. I'm so glad just for the thoughts of it, knowing that someday we'll climb higher. You know, we get these thoughts in our minds, and you know, I think Philip was asking me recently, would there be cars and things like that over there? And I said, what would I need a car for, Brother Hoover, when I can travel like a thought? Tesla and Mercedes and Ferrari and Lamborghini doesn't have anything like that. Some of these great trains and things and tunnels and ideas that man has to try to travel you across the country, clear across the country in just 2 or 3 hours time, it has nothing on God's plan. Technology and science and man's ideas, they won't tip the scale to what God's plan will be. St. Paul said it hasn't even entered into the hearts of man what it'll be. So you won't have to get on a plane or a rocket or into some vehicle, but to travel like a thought. If I thought, well, I want to go see Brother So-and-so way on the other side of this 15,000 or 1,500 mile city and 1,500 miles high, I want to go visit Brother So-and-so. He's about 2,000 miles away. I'll just think and I'll be there. Amen. So I hope you're living close to where I am at. I'm planning on camping out right at the feet of Jesus. So I don't know how we'll all get there, but I there's room at the cross for me, the Bible says, or the song says rather. So 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We'll see him as he is, and we'll be like him. Scripture says in one place, a body like his own glorious body. So I'm looking for that. Now, Brother Branham and Brother Charlie here talking of something. This wasn't something evil that they were doing. It wasn't some little besetting secret sin or anything. It was just something that they liked to do in the natural. And he asked, Brother Charlie asked him, said, Brother Branham, don't you think because we love that so much over here that it'll be over there? He said, no, it won't be. It won't be over there because there won't be anything killed even in the millennium, let alone in the new heavens and the new earth. But even in the millennium, wouldn't be anything killed. And so we begin to get a picture into the glimpse of God's mind that some of the things that we enjoy so much over here will seem so petty and so pointless when we get over there. Some of the things that we don't like over here, we'll be glad that they aren't over there. There won't be any bills. I'm not talking about Bill Layton and Bill Hamby and, you know, bills like that. There won't be those kind that come in your mailbox, you know. I get a lot more bills than I do checks in the mailbox for some reason. But there won't be any more bills. There won't be any more late fees or overdraft fees. Won't be any more taxes. And the whole church said, amen. Won't be any more gossip. Won't be any bad news. Won't be any more social media. Amen. You won't need social media over there. Amen. You want to know what Sister So-and-so's doing? You won't have to look up her profile. You can just go visit her in a moment's time and a thought. You want to see what her mansion looks like and how she's got it decorated? Facebook and Twitter and Instagram won't have to share it with you about it. You'll just go and see her and visit her face to face. What a concept. Your car won't be there. Your boat won't be there. Your 401k in your house won't be there. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't save money and you shouldn't have things here. But I'm just saying if that's what your focus becomes and that's what becomes your God, then you got your priorities wrong. Brother Bam says, and from that time in 1960, he's talking about when he went beyond the curtain of time, he said, and when I looked coming running to me, it was looked like to me a million of young women about 25 years old. I never seen such pretty women in all my life. Their eyes looked like stars, their teeth as white as pearl, long hair hanging to their waist with white robes on down to their feet, and was barefooted. Goodness gracious. So this is what he saw when he got over there. That's how they were dressed and what their hair looked like over there. So my, he says in Revelation of Jesus Christ 1916, if our lives come up from that, come from up there, then we act like that. Because we come, our life is from a holy place. It looks different. It dresses different. The women up there has long hair and they don't wear manicure on their face and they don't wear shorts. They wear skirts and long robes and dresses. They have long hair and things. So the nature of it from up there reflects back on us. Amen. So if you claim to have come from there and you claim to have identification over there, then the life that you live here will be a reflection of what it is over there. This wasn't something that was just Brother Branham's opinion. I think this is what it'll be like when we get over there. He had already walked over there and seen what it was like. And he says, the nature of it from up there reflects back on us. You see, we get the wrong idea sometimes of the word. And I guess I got to live a holiness life because the law says so and this. No, it ought to be something that you love to do. It ought to be something that is natural for you to do because that's what you came from and that's what you're going back to. I like what Brother Attila said Sunday night, said, you know, the people that don't like to come to church, it won't be just stay in your mansion over there, but we'll all come up around the throne to worship together. So if you don't like that here, you might have a problem over there. If you don't like to worship God over there, they said we'd sing Hosanna and shout and all that. If you don't like those type of things over here, if that makes you uncomfortable over here, then you might not fit in very well over there. Brother Branham said only perfect love will be there. So if you can't have perfect love for your neighbor or the guy across the pew from you or at some other message church or some nominal church or the guy down here on the bar stool or the Jehovah Witness knocking at your door, if you can't have perfect love for them or your least favorite relative over here, then how are you going to have it over there? Because you don't change over there. It's just your dwelling place that changes. So what we have over here will reflect over there what will be. The men don't smoke, he says, chew, lie, steal. They come, their spirits come from a holy place, makes them act holy, recognize one another as brothers. That's it. We're of a kingdom and we have a king and he is the king of saints. And the word saint comes from the word of the sanctified ones. Then when a person is sanctified, Christ, the Holy Spirit, moves into the heart and becomes king over them. Amen. Won't be any earrings over there. No pierced ears over there. No gauges. I just wrote down a lot of things that's not going to be over there. Maybe you can come up with a list five times as big as mine, but I'm just going to go through some of the ones that I thought of because I'm the one preaching tonight. So if you have more, you share them with somebody else in the parking lot and say, Brother Nathan missed these. Won't be any eyeliner. Won't be any fingernail polish. Praise the Lord. Nobody with purple fingernails over there. The people with green fingernails and green eyes and all that, he saw in the other dimension, the bad one that we don't want to go to. They didn't look like that in the dimension we're all trying to get to. Amen. No cigarettes, no vaping, no whiskey, no beer, no drugs, no romance novels, no pornography. Your DVD collection won't be over there. Your favorite TV show won't be over there. Your favorite video game won't be over there. Your favorite sports team. You say, well, Brother Nathan, some of those things that you're talking about, I don't feel like they're that bad. No, but if it's not going to be over there, don't spend your whole focus and your whole time and your whole efforts on some of these things that are going to fade away one day. It's okay to have hobbies. It's okay to have your favorite sports team. It's okay to have some of these things. Some of these video games the kids play, I think it's fine. Some of it I think it's a waste of time. Some of it I think is filth. But, you know, I'm not here to dictate and tell you and give you a list of Brother Nathan's approved ones and non-approved ones. But the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. And if it's something, you know, somebody asked about music the other night at the youth Bible study. Said, you know, what type of music is Christian music? There's so much music that is in the name of Christianity, but yet there's some of it that I have a feeling just because it names the name of Christ, if they never talk about Jesus or if their music is so much like the world's that you can't tell the difference between the two and you have to listen to the whole song and see if there's a lyric about Jesus before you can tell which it is. I told them, I said, you know, different people have different preferences and different people have different comfort levels, and some of the music that I listen to might scare some of you because you think anything more extreme than the cathedrals is just sin. And you know, everybody has their own personal opinion and preference, but if it doesn't glorify God, then I don't know how it can be called Christian music. If it's Christian music, it'll glorify God. And if you begin to listen, you realize, you know what? I don't see how this could glorify God. Then maybe you should just tiptoe away from that as quickly as you can. Oh, my. The sisters over there won't have cut hair. We won't need scissors over there. The brothers won't have bangs hanging down their face. Oh, my. Some of you's toes are curling up in your shoes already. You say, well, Brother Nathan, I'm dealing with teenagers, and they look at all these styles and all these things. They like the way this one does their hair and that one does their hair, and they want to look like Justin Bieber or this one or that one or the other. Well, I'd be careful who your role models are. And I'd stop blaming it on just, well, I got a teenager in the house. Brother Ram said it's not juvenile delinquency, it's parent delinquency that you let them get away with it. Brother Branham had teenagers too. He said, you know, little teen Annies and things. And I'm glad that he shared some things and was transparent about some things that went in his house. And I'm glad Brother Billy Paul even took it a step further and told us how that when he began to act out and do different things, Brother Branham took him for a little drive and showed him where boys that acted like that wound up at a little juvenile detention center. Oh, that's hard, Brother Nathan. That's right. The word is hard, but it's true. Amen. I want the truth. I don't want some watered down, baby down, petted down something. No, I want truth. It's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that quickens us. It's the truth that's going to get us out of here. I'm not interested in some doty religion that's going to pet you and make you happy. No, you came to the wrong church tonight if that's what you're looking for. Oh, but Brother Nathan, you talk about drawing the circle bigger and having love for everybody. Amen, we should, but we should also preach the truth and tell them they're going to go to hell if they keep living the way they're doing and having the lifestyle that they're having. Amen. See, we get unbalanced if you're not careful. We pet and baby sin if you're not too careful one way, or you go the other way and just draw out the sinner and say there's no hope for him. No, I pray for the sinner. I love the sinner. I hope the sinner gets converted, but I'm not going to baby and pet his sin and let him go on. I think sometimes around the message we get a little laxed. And, you know, if there's anybody that believes in erring on the side of grace, it's me. If I'm going to be an error, I want to err at least on the side of grace if I'm going to err. But I'd rather just stay right in the middle of the road and not err either way. Amen. But yes, I lean towards grace. Grace, grace, cried the capstone. But let's not make grace a disgrace. Let's not lean so far into grace that we're scared to preach the truth. Absolutely not. Well, some of you that hasn't been coming very long, you've wondered what I believe on some things like this. So just buckle up your seatbelts and you'll find out. Some of you have been coming longer and you know kind of a little bit what to expect. But souls that are in prison now, 1963. About 4 weeks ago, the wife and I went to Tucson to do some shopping. And while we were sitting, we went in downstairs and there was a bunch of sissy-like boys. Had their hair ratted, you know, like the women does, and bangs combed down here in the front, and these real high trousers on, kind of, I guess, the beatniks or whatever you call them. And they were in there, and everybody was looking at them, and their heads was that big, like the women that wears these here waterhead haircuts, you know. And they were down there, and a young woman came by, and she said, "What do you think about that?" I said, "Then you ought to be ashamed of yourself if you can think that." I said, "He has just as much right to do it as you do. Neither one of you has a right." I played some of these quotes to Philip today in the car as we were riding around. He didn't know I was going to use some of them to preach on tonight. But he asked me, he said, "Daddy, how can that be that it can be too long for a man and short for a woman? How can it be both?" I said, "Because anything that's cut is short hair for a woman. But a man can have his hair cut and be way down here somewhere or way down here somewhere or whatever, and it'd be long hair. I know some of these brothers, they've got so little hair that if they was to comb it this way, it'd probably hang down about this far, but they're combing it over the other direction to hide up what they don't have. So, amen, as long as they're doing it that way, I guess it ain't long hair. But if they hung it down this side just long, I guess that'd be inappropriate. Sometimes you got to go back to not just the letter of the law, but what is the spirit behind something? What is the spirit behind you that is motivating you to do these things? Oh, if we'll be real honest with ourselves tonight, then you won't be offended by the word. You might get your toes stepped on, but you won't be offended by the word, but you might recognize, oh, well, maybe I need to line up with the word a little more. You believe this is the truth tonight? I'm not reading from Brother Nathan's handbook of opinions. I'm reading from a vindicated prophet in this age. Now, if you don't believe he was a vindicated prophet, then that's a different story. Then you can just say, well, that was just Brother Branham's opinion, and, well, that was just something culturally back in the 60s or whatever you want to say. But if you believe he's a vindicated prophet, then his word, just like Moses, hey, Moses was living in a very different cultural day than we were, and I'm sure he had different ideas than we do as far as Moses the man, but I still go back into the word, and I take what he said back there in Egypt and what he said when they come out of Egypt, I still take it as the word of God. Paul lived in a very culture than he did, than Moses did, or that we did, but yet it was still, he wasn't projecting culture and he wasn't projecting opinion. He was a prophet of God, and so he was projecting the word of God to the people. Amen. If you don't believe that, if you don't believe Moses or Paul or Brother Branham was a prophet, then that's a different story. Once again, probably at the wrong church, but a different story. But you see, the way I'm looking at it tonight, he was a vindicated prophet, so when he says something, I'm going to take it that way. Amen. Trying to do God a service, 1965. Can't you feel the Holy Spirit screaming out from you? Oh, United States and the world, how oft I would have gathered you, but you would not. Now your hour has come. Your God of pleasure, your God of filth, your God of Sodom and Gomorrah, God has come among you. Even our little kids, beetle haircuts and bangs across their faces, and little perverts starting out. Our women is gone. It's beyond redemption. Our men has become big sissies, walking around with little short pants on and acting like a girl and hair hanging down their necks. Amen. You want me to say what he said tonight, right? Amen. Amen. Not try to tell you what he meant, but tell you what he said. Somebody said, oh, my, Brother Bannon was talking about these people that have their hair way down over their eyes and all these things. No, well, he said these beetle-style haircuts. So I'm going to tell you something, a message preacher you probably won't hear very often. But when you go home tonight, Google beetles. Not like the bug, B-E-E-T-L-E-S, but B-E-A-T-L-E-S. And look at some of the pictures of what they look like. And this is what he's talking about. They didn't have their hair down to their nose where they had to part it out like this to look through. No, it was down over their eyebrows right here. Bangs down in their face. And he said it was a feminine spirit. Well, like I said, you may not like me after this, but you'll know the truth. The anointed ones at the end time, 1965. Look at this bunch that we got today, rotten, even in man, out on the street, young men pulling their hair down on their forehead like with bangs like a woman, perversion, sodomites. Again, God of this evil age, 1965. If you were born to be a man, then act like a man. These bangs hanging down in your face and curled up like some sex appeal, why, you perverted generation of snakes. Oh, that's hard, Brother Nathan. Yeah, it sounds just like another man that was anointed with the spirit of Elijah that said, you snakes in the grass, you serpents, who called you to flee from the wrath of God that is to come? And you think I'm preaching hard tonight? Go back and listen to the tape that I listened to today, Satan's Eden in 1965. And if you think I'm preaching hard, hear it from a vindicated prophet. Amen. Oh, if he said, if you're a man, act like a man. If you're a woman, act like a woman. If you're a deacon's wife, act like a deacon's wife. If you're a pastor's wife or a preacher's wife or a whatever's wife. But you know what it comes down to? If you're a Christian, act like a Christian. Amen. I don't want my family to live a certain way, Brother Attila, because I'm a minister or because I'm a pastor. No, everybody be good. Behave yourself. Don't act that way because you'll reflect on Daddy and he's a pastor. No, we live that way because we're Christians. Amen. You ought to live the same way that the pastor or the deacons or anybody else that's living holy and righteous for God does, not because of their title. If you just live holy because of a title or an office, God help you if you ever get voted out. Amen. But the Holy Ghost comes and it quickens you, regardless of your title or your address or your name or whatever it be. If you're a Christian, live like a Christian. If you're a lady, dress like a lady. If you're a man, dress like a man. Act like a man. Amen. Amen. Don't walk around like some little sissy pervert out here on the streets. Be a man. Don't live in your parents' basement till you're 43. And I know, oh, goodness. Go out and get a career and provide for your family that's coming on. Be a man. Stand for something. Be something. Don't be some little wishy-washy pushed around something like some feminine spirit's got a hold of you. Stand for the word of God. Stand for truth. If you're a woman, be the best lady that you can be. Don't present yourself in a way that would make other men besides your husband. And you say, well, I don't have a husband yet. Well, you know, you've got one coming somewhere. Amen. You say, well, I've got mixed up in marriage and divorce and things, and there's nobody for me. No, but a prophet of God said that if you got mixed up over here, you'll get the right one over there. Amen. And so if you're still young and single and haven't found that one, you have one out there somewhere that's waiting for you. So why wouldn't you want to live pure and holy and true to him, so that when you come across his path and God brings you together, you don't have to confess 9 miles of things that you did back once upon a time and live with regrets and the devil beating you up and giving you misery for the rest of your life? Why wouldn't you want to live pure and holy and righteous? Some of you young men, live a righteous life. Treat that Christian girl like a lady. Amen. Amen. This isn't anything new I'm preaching you tonight. It's just things that a lot of times Christian people tiptoe around because it's uncomfortable in this age that we live in. But you know what? It's still the truth. Regardless of the age or the culture or the hour, it is still the truth. Sisters, don't present yourself in a way that would make some other man look at you. Brother Branham said it was a prostitute spirit. That's what he said. That's harsh, Brother Nathan. But what spirit is it? It's a spirit that would want to make a man look at you and be attracted to you. Why else would you dress that way? It's a prostitute spirit. Now, a prostitute, you know, that's her financial gain if she can get somebody to look at her. But you may not be making financial gain, and you may not be physically being a prostitute, but you want the attention. You want the eyes to turn and look at you. And Jesus Christ said, not Nathan Bryant, not just William Branham, not just St. Paul or Moses, but Jesus Christ himself said, if a man looks upon you to lust after you, he's already committed adultery in his heart. Brother Branham said, God of this evil age, 1965, you mean to tell me that God would dress his daughter so sexy and ungodly that his sons would look at her and lust after her to send them both to hell? He said, don't you lay that on my God. Amen. Don't lay it on my God. God wouldn't make you act like that. God wouldn't make you dress like that. Every year, the skirts get a little shorter and more see-through, and the neckline gets a little bit lower. But the real, true daughter of God, it won't get lower or higher or anything for her. She'll stay exactly walking in line with the Word, because it's not her that lives, but it's Jesus Christ that's living through her. She won't want to bring a reproach to the Word. Brother Branham said, you want to know what time it is? Look at Israel, and so you'll see what time that we're living in. He said, you want to know what condition the church is? Look at the women. And there's some women that go here that I would say, praise God. I hope when people are out in Walmart, they see that sister to see what our church reflects. And there's other sisters that I think, oh, Lord, I hope they don't see them. And that reflects on our church. Maybe it's because I haven't preached it hard enough. Or maybe it's because the husbands are too wishy-washy and don't have a backbone enough to stand up and say, hey, you're gonna dress like a lady. I love you, but I'm not going to let you run out here in front of these other men and dress like that. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's hard, Brother Nathan. Well, welcome to the Word. Amen. The Word is true. It's sharp. It's sharp, it's cutting, it divides asunder even to the marrow of the bone, but it's true. It's sharp and cutting, but it's true. I'm thankful for truth. I'm thankful that my wife doesn't go down to Walmart with tights and a little belly shirt on out here presenting herself like some of these insane people out here do that look like they walked out of their house without their clothes on. And then she comes in with a long denim skirt and a sweater, and they look at her like she's crazy. And they come up to you sisters at your schools and out here at your jobs and things and talk to you and look at you like you're crazy. And sometimes I'm sure you just want to hold a mirror in front of them and say, have you looked in a mirror lately? And you think we're crazy?
All right.
But I recognize it's a mixed multitude. We got people on different levels. People that are just coming back to the Lord and people that have ran from the Lord. We got people that have been in one church and that church and this state and that state. And it's a mixed multitude. But I don't care where you came from or what God has brought you from. Amen. The Holy Ghost will make you live the word. It'll make you say amen to the word, not just with your lips. Anybody that can talk can do that. Amen, amen, amen. I've seen some of them sit right in church and amen, amen, and go right back out and live like a devil. So it's not just being able to amen with your lips, but if we can amen it with our life to where the word becomes live, the Holy Ghost will make the word live through you. It won't make you live contrary to the word, but it'll make you live the word. That doesn't mean you'll never slip and fall and make a mistake, but you'll jump right back up and you'll say, I'm sorry, Lord, I was wrong. It wasn't your word that was wrong. It was me that was wrong, and I'm going to keep walking in the word. Amen. Amen. That's what the real Holy Ghost will produce in you. If you haven't experienced that, the altar's open now through the rest of the time till the deacons lock the door tonight, and then it'll be open again on Sunday morning or whenever you need to come and pray. Satan's Eden, 1965. Now wears her bangs. She cuts her hair like his, and he tries to wear his like hers, see? She wears his outside clothes, and he wears her inside clothes. Again, same sermon, you big sissy. That's a horrible thing to say from a pulpit, but judgment begins at the house of God. You don't even know whether you're a man or a woman. And I understand that our United States Army is coming out next in shorts. That's right. See what the perversion is? It's a woman's clothes. Where's her bangs? 1965, what does it produce for our military? Don't ask, don't tell. Now they're proud of it and they want to tell. And now we've got little sissies out there with machine guns, and now that wasn't enough. They've brought them and given them to women, and she's out there in the military. And now they wonder, why are all these rapes happening in the military and all these lawsuits and things? Because it's contrary to God's way of doing it.
Amen.
You're going to get in trouble, Brother Nathan. Well, it's Wednesday night. Isn't that what we do on Wednesday night?
Amen.
Satan's Eden, again, no longer a son of God. Bangs hanging down in his face and a pair of shorts on, trucking down the street. A son of God? Deacon in a church? A pastor in a pulpit? No, that ain't a son of God. He never came through God's thinking filter.
Amen.
Amen. You might get mad at me tonight, but be honest with yourself. Some of these things that you allow to slip into your home or slip into your life or become normal in your family, be honest with yourself. What is motivating you? What is driving you to do it? Well, here we go. It is the rising of the sun, 1965. Brother Branham tells about a dream that his mother had. Now, his mother, he said she was almost half Indian. And being an Indian, he said she was an odd type person. She didn't have a whole lot of dreams. But when she did have dreams, he said they were always true. And he begins to tell this story about how she had a dream. And in the dream, that he said there was a lady that was coming to the church there. And in the church, there was three steps that she had to go up. And he said then there was a pearl thread. A pearl line that went all the way. He said it was a highway that once you got up those three steps, you was on this highway, and that highway went all the way into the doors of heaven. And he said when she did, he said there was this woman that came. He said it typed my ministry perfect. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then you were on the highway, and he said that led you all the way into heaven. Now, he says, he goes on, he begins to tell about this lady. He said there was a lady came by. Now you know what kind of shoes people wore 35 years ago. There was a lady come by, had on a great big pair like they were today, spike-heeled shoes, and she come by, and I said, wait a minute, sister, you can't walk that highway with that. And I said, you can't do that. She said, ah, she said, looked around at the rest of the women, said, don't believe him, he's a madman, see? Don't believe him, I'll show you I can be justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and still walk that. And she, I just let her go, couldn't do no more about it, couldn't stop her. And she jumped up on the highway. Notice what he said. He's told her the truth. He's preached her the word. He couldn't go and make her live it, Brother Lee. He couldn't go and grab her and shake her and come into her house and burn all of her shoes. He couldn't go and do that. He said, I just let her go. Couldn't do more about it. Couldn't stop her. Some of you say, Brother Nathan, what about this in the church? And what about this one in the church? And what about that one? I preach it just as hard as I know and stand for the word just as much as I know. And if people don't live it, I can't make them live it. But I'm going to keep preaching it. And I figure eventually people will either come and live it or they'll get tired of hearing it and move on. Just let her go. Couldn't do no more about it. Couldn't stop her. And she jumped up on the highway and she looked back at the sister and said, see, I told you. She started to run. See, you know how the Bible said in Isaiah 5th chapter that they should have outstretched necks? They have to. They're pitched over. See, mincing as they have to twist, mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their heels. See, the daughters of Zion in the last days. And she started up that highway just as hard as she could run. And after a while, the road got narrower and narrower. She started reeling, mincing like that, and off she went. And mother said the horriblest screams that I ever heard in my life was that woman falling into those flames and smoke going down like that. Said I turned around and said, see, she just obeyed everything but one word. See, everything but one word. Brother Trevor just preached on No One Must Know. What's your one word that you struggle with? Brother Bram said Satan's got a punch coming to every one of us. Your one word might be different than my one word, but there's something that if you'll be honest with yourself that the devil's always trying to drag you back into. But if you can't, if you can live it all, but you just come up to that one spot and say, Brother Nathan, I can't give up this and I can't give up that. And yeah, Jesus told the rich young ruler, he said, one thing thou lackest. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. The Evening Messenger, 1963. And he's talking about the woman that came, the man came to him, was a Pentecostal pastor, and said, mind if my wife plays the organ, had her sitting on the platform. He said, oh, she's a saint. He said, and sexy looking, little bitty short dress on, she couldn't even put it over her knees when she sat down. Sounds like a lot of so-called message sisters, don't it? You see them sit down a lot of times, Brother Layton, they sit down around me, and you can tell they're just nervous the whole time they're sitting there. Just pulling and pulling and tugging and pulling and tugging. They seem like they can't get it over their knees no matter how hard they pull and tug and try unless it comes down the other way. Couldn't even pull it over her knees when she sat down. Well, I stood there a little bit and I said, Brother, will I hurt your feelings if I say something? He said, why, certainly not. Nice man. And she seemed to be a nice woman. I said, do you say your wife was a saint? Said, yes. I said, excuse the expression, but she looks like a haint to me. I said, that's true, or something like that. He said, what do you mean, Brother Branham? Oh, said, you're of the old school. I said, I'm of the school of the scripture. That's right, the school of the scripture. I don't believe that a saint acts like that. I just can't do it when the Bible so condemns it. Amen. Thinking Man's Filter, 1965, and some of those women on the platform with their dresses above their knees and cut so tight and shows every form, every move they make, and their underneath clothes showing through their dresses, just as bad as wearing shorts, bikinis, or anything else. You Pentecostal blind Laodicean preachers, how long will God suffer you? I don't know. Notice who he's condemning. He's not condemning the woman. He's condemning the Pentecostal preachers that wouldn't stand there in the pulpit and condemn it because of a meal ticket or because they liked seeing it or because that it might offend somebody in their family or maybe because their own daughter was doing it or whatever. He said, you weak, blind, Laodicean preachers, how long will God suffer you? I don't know. When I get to the judgment, Brother Hoover, there may be a lot of things said about me, but I don't want it to ever be that, well, you was wishy-washy and you wouldn't stand for the truth. No, I'm doing my best that doesn't get said about me when I come to the end of the road. Amen. I've been wrong plenty of times, but I've never claimed that the word was wrong. The word is true. Whether it offends you, whether it rubs you the right way or the wrong way, it's the truth. God's only provided place for worship, 1965. A man told me not long ago, said, I don't preach a clothesline religion. I said, then you're not preaching the gospel. Not preaching the gospel. Won't be any spike heels over there. Won't be no shorts or short skirts. Won't be no low-cut blouses, no tight clothes. Won't be no ripped pants or ripped skirts. Showing off your thighs Or maybe the sisters have on at least tights underneath, so, you know, they've shown off their tights through their ripped skirts. Listen, let me just say this clearly and plainly. Brothers, I don't want to see your thighs. And sisters, I don't need to see your thighs. I don't want to see those either. But I definitely don't need to see those. A man's thigh is not going to tempt me, but I don't want some sister walking around, well, it's a long skirt and then all rips all through it and things, showing your leg or your tights or whatever it is underneath it. No, that won't be over there. Lust won't be over there. Pride won't be over there. Temper and stubbornness and complaining and bitterness won't be over there. Malice won't be over there. That word, by the way, means the desire to inflict injury, harm, or suffering on another. That's what malice is. Amen. Sometimes, boy, if I ever get a chance, I can't wait till the Lord. Oh, goodness mine. He did this to me and she said that about me. And Lord, just rain down fire and brimstone out of heaven on them. The desire to inflict injury, harm, or suffering on another. Malice. There won't be any strife, which is the vigorous or bitter conflict, discord, or antagonism. Won't be jealousy. Won't be any hate. Won't be any racism. That's right. Some of you struggled with racism, but the Holy Ghost delivers you from it. Amen. You heard Brother Hoover's testimony. You've heard different things that people can be delivered from. Amen. The Holy Spirit will deliver you from it. All of these things we're talking about, you know what the problem is? The problem isn't, well, if Sister so-and-so would just do this better, and if Brother so-and-so would just do that better. The problem is they need a good dose of the Holy Ghost, and it'll lead them to do these things. Won't be any depression. Depression is a condition of general emotional dejection and withdrawal, sadness greater and more prolonged than that warranted by any objective reason. You see people depressed and they have all these excuses. They're depressed because of this and they're depressed because of that, but then they just stay down there and stay depressed. And finally you think, well, goodness, you'd have thought, you know, that would have expired at some point, that eventually they would get past that, but they allowed the devil to drag them down and keep them depressed. But there won't be any depression over there. Amen. Won't be any oppression over there. Oppression, I know sometimes I say depression and oppression and that confuses people, but it's a different word and a different meaning. The feeling of being heavily burdened mentally or physically by troubles, adverse conditions, or anxiety. I know a lot of us struggle with that, but there won't be any anxiety over there. Won't be any fear. No more burdens. No more trials. No more temptation. No more addiction. No more perversion, no more doubters or skeptics, no more sinners or unbelievers or make-believers, no more divisions, no more doctrinal differences. Amen. He'll straighten us all out when we get over there. When we get over there, well, I saw it this way and I saw it that way. I have a feeling he'll sit us both down, take us by the hands, and we'll just all of a sudden, we'll get a revelation of what it really was, and we'll realize we were both probably wrong a little bit. If nothing else, maybe in our attitude that we thought we were so much righter than the other guy. No more arguments. Some of the married folks almost shouted on that one, didn't they? No more bullying. No more school shootings. No more child molesters. No more suicide. No more rape. No more wars or rumors of wars. No more terrorists or terrorist attacks. No more famines or droughts or forest fires or floods or earthquakes or tsunamis or hurricanes or tornadoes or all these things that we keep seeing as a fulfillment of Matthew chapter 24. Because we rejected the word, or at least the vast majority of our country and the world has. No more gray hair. No more wrinkles. No sadness. No tears. No aches, no pains. No sickness, no diseases. No death. No more mourning over wayward loved ones. Did this one make it? Did that one make it? Oh, I've applied the token, but I don't see him coming back. And I'm worrying and wringing your hands and praying. We won't have to worry about it anymore. Well, you look down the table and you'll see this one and that one. And you think, oh, I worried, would they make it? And here they are sitting there. We'll have the mind of Christ. sitting there, one great big many membered body of Jesus Christ, and you look down the table, and maybe there's somebody that you thought, I wonder, hey, brother so-and-so, how on earth did you make it in? Sister so-and-so down the table hollers at you and says, hey, I got the same question for you. I was pretty concerned and worried about you. You know, we get little glimpses into it. You get in an atmosphere of worship. You get in an atmosphere of the word coming down. And the word begins to come. As I said, it's sharp. It trims. It cuts sometimes things. And you think, oh, goodness gracious. Hey, a surgery is never easy. And the word is a sword. And sometimes it comes up and it cuts to the marrow of the bone. It trims off over here and trims off over there. And your opinions and your preferences and your desires and your stubbornness and your will and all these different things. And you begin to think, Lord, if all that is contrary to your word, just help me do away with that and bring me under subjection to your word. And you would begin to get a little glimpse into the mind of Christ. We begin to see how that he would be able to stand there and say, I always do that which is willing to the Father, pleasing to the Father. He could pray to the Holy Spirit on the inside of himself and say, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Oh my, if we could get in that condition tonight. Maybe some of these things tonight hurt your feelings. Well, I didn't come here to hurt your feelings tonight, but I figured the harsh preaching of the word would hurt people's feelings. I came under the awareness of that, but I didn't come with the motive to hurt people's feelings. I came with the motive to let's wake up a little bit. Let's not drift into stagnant waters of just, well, complacency and, well, Sister So-and-so does it, so I guess it's okay. And Brother So-and-so said it was okay. And Sister So-and-so said that this one said that Brother Branham said, and on and on and on. We get all these excuses. Let's go back to the word and see what it said. Amen. Forget people's opinions and hearsay and all that. What does the word say? Yes. Amen. Amen. The mind of Christ, it won't do anything contrary to the word. It'll bring you right back into subjection with the word. Some of these things that we think of, will it make it to heaven? Some of the things that we spend so much time worrying about, we won't have to worry about it over there. All of our worries, all of our late nights up, praying for this one, anxious for this, anxious for that. I've got a meeting with Brother So-and-so, and I don't know what he's going to say or what he's going to do. Maybe he's upset. Maybe he's going to leave the church. Maybe he wants to rake me over the coals about something. Maybe he disagrees with me about something. There won't be any more laying up at night worrying about this or that. We'll have the mind of Christ. But I want to tell you something. If you have the Holy Ghost, it gives you the mind of Christ. Amen. And the mind of Christ will always aim in the word. Will it make it to heaven? Will your stubbornness, your temper, your pride, your besetting sins, the little things that keep you living a halfway Christian life. Brother Branham said, Lot, there he was. Here was Abraham, a believer. And here was Lot, a borderline believer. Wanted one foot in the word and one foot in Sodom and Gomorrah. And living a halfway life. What a miserable way to live. I don't want to be a halfway believer. I don't want to be a borderline believer. Well, I believe God sent a prophet, but I have a hard time doing some of these things that he taught us. No, I want to say amen to all the word. Amen. Not just with my lips, but with my life. And if I see myself coming up short, Lord, I know I should do this, and I know I should do that, and I know I'm failing in these areas. Lord, help me. Lord, it's not your word that's wrong. It's me that's wrong. Help me. Help me to come back around. May your Holy Spirit bring me into a condition to where I'll be able to lay all that down and say, Lord, I've been wrong. My motives have been wrong. My objective has been wrong. My spirit has been wrong. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Amen. Anything that you can't take over there, be careful how much of a priority it gets over here. How much time, how much focus, how much of a God it becomes to you over here. We don't, as I preached on one time, we don't pack up to go to heaven, Brother Bram told us. We unpack. We're unpacking all these things. Brother Jonathan Sanger at BYC for the younger kids, he did a great visual of that. He had a suitcase, big, huge, heavy suitcase, and he had all kinds of things. And he was talking about laying aside every weight. And he had in there, he had some weights and he had some different things. He had different technologies and different things that he had brought in here. And he'd have different kids come up and pick it up and take it out. And would that be able to go into heaven? No, it would be better to lay that aside and unpack it. Amen. It's not packing up time, it's unpacking time. I realize when things like this get preached, sometimes it hurts feelings. And maybe there'll be a little bit of a fallout. Maybe there'll be a lot of discussions at your kitchen tables about things like this. But let me just ask you, just before you get mad at Brother Nathan, just take it back. Was anything that I said, was it contrary to this message that we're following? Was it contrary to the Bible? Was it contrary to the Word of God? And if it wasn't and you disagree, then maybe you need to check up and say, Lord, why is the Spirit in me disagreeing if he could take everything that he said back to the Word? There's many things that I have opinions on that I could get up here and share. I don't think you should do this, or I don't really like this, or this isn't my preference. But I stay off of those things. But when I can come and show you in the Word, then I would encourage you. Go back to what the Word said. Stay with the Word. Follow the Word. Live the Word. Don't just do it because Brother Nathan said so. And well, I guess we better stop doing that because Brother Nathan said so. No, this isn't Brother Nathan tonight. This is the Word. Amen. Do it because the Word said so. Not just out of legalism that, well, that here's something that we haven't thought about that we better check up on and do because it's the Word and we want to live a legalistic life. Make sure that the life of Christ is in you. To where it's not just, well, I better do it because the pastor preached it. But no, get the life in you and you'll want to do these things. You'll want to live this way. You'll want to make sure, Lord, my desires, my thoughts, my attitude, the way that I live, the way that I act, the way that I treat others, the way that I present myself before others. I want to live in such a way that I know when that time comes and I would just take a body change in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, that I wouldn't have to stop and pray through for 5 hours, but I'd be in a condition to just step because I'm already making preparations to be in the condition that I'm going to be there. Because he's not going to stop at the last minute and say, okay, you better get changed. The body change is happening. Everybody else is changing. You better take some time and pray through real quick. No, you better be prepared when that time comes. Amen. God help us tonight. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, you know the weight and the burden that this has been weighing on me, Father. Knowing it was time again to address some of these things that a pastor has to deal with. Lord, if anybody thinks that I do these things because I enjoy it, then they need to check down to the psychiatrist. Lord, it's not easy. I don't enjoy it, but Lord, I want to stand true to your word, whether it's something that rubs my flesh the right way and pats my flesh and makes me feel good or not. Lord, I want to stand for the word. Lord, when I go back and hear some of these hard-cutting sermons that your prophet preached, marriage and divorce and Satan's Eden, God of this evil age and Jezebel religion and some of these sermons that, Lord, I know how it must have broke his heart to stand there knowing that some of the Pentecostal people would hate him for the things that he was saying, but knowing that he had to stay true to what he saw in the Word. Lord, I can hear the love and the compassion in his voice that he's not saying these things to beat the people over the head, but he's crying out. He's warning them of an oncoming judgment, warning them to make preparations because someday it's going to be the last day. God, help us not to wait till it's too late, but may we make preparations here, Lord. Lord, if there's any, Lord, that they know, if they'll be honest with themselves, that they're coming up short here or there, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Lord, may they not wait any longer, but may tonight be the night that they say, I'm done. I'm through with trying to drag all of my lifestyle into the message, Lord. But may they make their lifestyle match the word instead of trying to make the word match their lifestyle. Lord, may the spirit that's within them, Lord, if it's contrary to your Holy Spirit, Lord, may you come and fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord. May it line them up with the word, not out of just a desire to do good works, but Father, Lord, because it's their own nature, because it's the nature of Christ living in them. Lord, shake us up tonight. Wake us up. Lord, the hour is late. The laborers are few. But Lord, help us that are laboring in the gospel. Help us to stand with it and preach it with all that's within us. Help us to take courage, Lord. Oh, help us, Lord. We need you, Father. We need your Holy Spirit to quicken the word to us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Let's sing. Number 204 in your hymn book. Oh, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim our eyes. Oh, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Are you longing for it tonight? Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand, leads me through that promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, I like this part. Oh, there'll be no more sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more party over there. And forever I will be with the one worship him tonight. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, when I look, thank you, Lord, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and lead me through that promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. As they play that softly, let's bow our heads together tonight. Amen. I wonder how many slip up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, that pricked my heart tonight. I needed the Lord to get my attention on some things that I've become complacent about. Some things that the devil's tried to beat me up over, tried to keep me out of the kingdom of God by holding on to this or holding on to that. But I'm tired of holding on to anything that would keep me out of the kingdom. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of playing around with things that would keep me out of fellowship, that would not be able to make it over there. Oh, so many hands tonight. My hands up too. My hands up too. Lord Jesus, you see the hands. Lord, you know the thoughts on the hearts, Lord. Maybe not everything I said applied to everyone, Lord, but each one, Lord, there's something, Lord, that caused them to raise their hand, Lord. Something, Lord, that's calling them into a greater fellowship with you, Lord. If nothing else is accomplished from the service, Lord, then just knowing that, Lord, it gave someone a desire for a greater fellowship with you, Lord. To not be complacent, to not just go with the flow and go with this or that that would come our way, Lord, or what's popular, what somebody's trying to encourage us or guilt us into doing, Lord. But we want to stand true to the word, Father. Lord, our motive isn't to hurt people or offend people, but Lord, if the word hurts or offends, Lord, then It'll just have to be that way. We'll stand for the word. We'll stand for Jesus. Help us, Lord. Be with each one. You see the desire of the heart. Quicken it to them tonight, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray.
Takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. The day.
Stand together and sing this, number 94 in your hymn book. Oh, you have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. Oh, you have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the whale we often sing. Oh, there are many, many others through the Bible. Well, I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I am going to meet you over there. And that home beyond the sky. Oh, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Many things will be there missing in that meeting. For the mourner's bench will have no place at all. Oh, there will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner had refused to heed the call. Oh, there will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I am going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky.
Oh, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Oh, there the doubters will be missing altogether. All the skeptics will be absent in that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the Aikens will be busy far away. There the saints will have his seal upon their foreheads, dressed in raiment none but ransomed ones can wear. All who have the wedding garments will be present at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I am going to greet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Oh, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Oh, we are often tossed and driven on a restless sea of time. Somber skies, howling tempests, oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, singing by and by, Lord, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, we are often destitute of the things that life demands, one of food, one of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we overcome. We'll understand it better by and by. Oh, trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. Oh, we'll understand it better by and by.
God are gathered home. Oh, we will tell the story, how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by.
Temptations, hidden snares often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed by some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why this test, when we've tried to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by.
Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing this tonight.
Amen. Well, I hope you're happy. Amen. If you're not happy, we'll be happy over there, all right?
Oh, there's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know. Over there.
sisters, brothers, we'll be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody. I know we'll be happy over there. Oh, we will shout and sing God's praises, everybody. Oh, let's sing that chorus again together. There will be for us to bear. Oh, and the Christians of all ages will join in that chime song. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. Oh, we will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy. Yes, we will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. And all the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. I'm gonna praise his name forever as I look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody. Thank you, Lord. We'll be happy over there. Oh, we will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We worship you, Lord. Amen. Well, very happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. Amen. Don't eat too much turkey. And amen. Brother Layton, would you come and just dismiss us in a word of prayer tonight, brother?
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're certainly grateful to have heard the word tonight, Lord Jesus, and realize that though it may hurt us, Lord, we'd rather be hurt here than to stand at the judgment and be hurt. Lord, I'd rather be corrected and admonished and so forth here than to have you tell me to step aside on that great day. Lord, I want all of my sins, all of my doubts, all of my mistakes to go before me and not follow me after, Lord. Because if they're in front of me, that means they're at the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed them. Lord Jesus, and we thank you for that. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord, when we look around. And I was thinking when the pastor was preaching about what we had to be thankful for. Oh, Lord, first of all, salvation. Then a revelation of your word, Lord. And perhaps for me, it's a good wife. Perhaps others, it's a good wife and good husband and a family, Lord Jesus, that loves you. And then, Father, we think of the church family. We've got a good church to go to and good friends. And oh, my, we've got just on and on and on and on, Lord, how blessed we are, how wonderful it is to have been found to find favor in your sight, Lord Jesus, and how grateful we are. And we can't thank you enough. But Father, from our humble hearts and our human lips, all we can do is bow our heads towards the dust of the earth from which we came and say, thank you, Lord. And whether this sermon would upset some people or not, Lord, I have to say thank you for a pastor that has enough spiritual fortitude to stand and preach the word, not intentionally trying to hurt anybody, but because he loves the people so much, he wants to see them make it. Father, if that's what it takes, then your perfect will be done. Oh, Lord, may we all stay in love with one another. May we not only believe the message, but may we live the message. Keep us now, Lord, until the appointed time to return on Sunday morning, if you should tarry, and if any of us should be left here, for we never know what hour or moment we're going to go home to meet you. But Father, be with us and bring us back at that time. We love you, and we thank you for every good thing you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Why don't we sing this before we go? Just a couple verses of it.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, you brought me. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. He's been my father. He's been my mother. He's been my sister, my brother too. Oh, he brought me, yes, he brought me from a mighty long way, a mighty long way. He's been my father, he's been my mother, he's been my sister, my brother too. Oh, he brought me, yes, he brought me from a mighty long way. He's been my bread, he's been my bread. He's been my water. He's been my life, my everything. Oh, he brought me. Yes, he brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. He's been my bread. He's been my water. He's been my life, my everything. Oh, he brought me. He brought me from a mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. God bless you. Thank. Let's just be dismissed with a thankful heart. God bless you. A mighty long way. A mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me, yes. You brought me from a mighty long way. He's been my bread. He's been my water. He's been my life, my everything. Lord, you brought me. Yes, you brought me from a mighty long way, a mighty long way. He's been my bread, he's been my water, he's been my life, my everything. Oh, he brought me, yes, he brought me from a mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Yes, you brought me. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Brought me from a mind.